Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Targeted by Jack Carr is a narrative-driven work of modern military history that revisits the 1983 bombing of the U.S. Marine barracks in Beirut and argues for its lasting significance in shaping the decades of conflict that followed. Centered on a pivotal moment in the Lebanese Civil War, the book examines how a devastating suicide attack against American forces reverberated through Washington, the intelligence community, and the broader Middle East. Carr approaches the subject with the sensibilities of a storyteller and the focus of an investigator, weaving operational details, political context, and human consequences into a single arc. The title signals the book's central contention that Beirut was not an isolated tragedy, but an early milestone in a longer campaign of asymmetric violence, propaganda, and proxy warfare. Readers can expect an accessible account that connects events on the ground to policy choices, institutional blind spots, and the evolving playbook of militant organizations. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Beirut 1983 in context: Lebanon, proxies, and a fragile mission. A major strength of the book's premise is its insistence that the Marine barracks bombing cannot be understood without the chaotic ecosystem of Lebanon in the early 1980s. The multinational presence in Beirut sat amid the Lebanese civil war, Syrian influence, Israeli operations, and the rise of armed factions competing for territory and legitimacy. The book highlights how peacekeeping and deterrence can blur when local actors interpret foreign troops as partisans rather than neutral guarantors. That perception matters because it shapes targeting, propaganda, and recruitment. By placing the deployment within a broader proxy struggle, Carr underscores how external powers and aligned militias can exploit ambiguity, using violence to message audiences far beyond the immediate battlefield. This topic also frames the central dilemma of limited interventions when strategic aims are politically constrained. Rules of engagement and posture may be optimized for restraint rather than survivability. The narrative invites readers to consider how tactical decisions in a dense urban environment are tethered to diplomatic signaling, and how adversaries adapt faster when they see a predictable pattern of caution. The result is a grounded backdrop for why Beirut became an inflection point rather than a one-off catastrophe. Secondly, the attack in the anatomy of asymmetric shock. The Beirut barracks bombing is often cited as a landmark in the evolution of suicide terrorism against Western military targets. Carr's approach emphasizes the operational logic that makes such attacks uniquely destabilizing. They compress time, overwhelm conventional defenses, and create strategic effects disproportionate to cost. This topic examines how a single, carefully planned strike can exploit routines, physical layouts, and assumptions about what an adversary is willing to do. The book explores the human dimension alongside the tactical one, acknowledging the scale of loss and the immediate trauma inflicted on survivors, units, and families. It also considers how adversaries weaponize imagery and narrative after the blast, turning tragedy into a recruitment tool and a demonstration of capability. Importantly, the focus is not merely on the mechanics of violence, but on the broader concept of asymmetric shock, an attack designed to alter policy, deter future commitments, or redefine red lines. By tracing how the event registered in American public life and national security circles, the book presents Beirut as a case study in how modern terrorist strategies aim not only to kill but to influence decision-making in open societies. Thirdly, warnings, intelligence friction, and institutional blind spots. A recurring question around Beirut is whether the attack was preventable, and Carr uses that question to probe the messy realities of intelligence and bureaucracy. This topic centers on how signals, threat streams, and fragmented responsibilities can fail to translate into decisive protective action. Even when warnings exist, they compete with competing priorities, uncertain credibility, and the political desire to sustain a mission without appearing to escalate. The book examines how organizational seams can become vulnerabilities. Different agencies or commands may hold partial pictures, while no single node feels empowered to force major changes. Carr also connects these issues to the broader learning curve of the era, when suicide vehicle attacks and mass casualty terrorism were not yet fully integrated into standard threat models. The narrative illustrates how assumptions harden into routines, and routines can become predictable to adversaries conducting surveillance. This analysis is valuable beyond the specific event because it translates into enduring lessons about risk assessment, base defense, interagency coordination, and the limits of hindsight. The theme is not that failure is simple or attributable to a single mistake, but that complex systems can drift into danger when incentives reward continuity over disruption. Fourthly, policy consequences: deterrence, withdrawal, and the signal sent. Carr argues that what followed the bombing mattered as much as the bombing itself. This topic explores the policy and strategic consequences that arise when a democracy absorbs a catastrophic attack during a limited overseas commitment. Decisions about retaliation, escalation, or withdrawal are never purely military. They reflect domestic tolerance for casualties, alliance politics, and the perceived stakes of the mission. The book discusses how adversaries interpret these choices as signals, then incorporate them into future calculations about what level of violence can produce political change. Beirut thus becomes a lens on deterrence in irregular conflict, where punishment and credibility do not operate like they do between conventional states. Carr's framing encourages readers to evaluate second-order effects, how a response shapes militant narratives, influences regional actors, and affects the willingness of partners to cooperate. The topic also highlights a persistent tension in counterterrorism strategy. Tactical success, or restraint, can still generate strategic vulnerability if it convinces opponents that high-impact attacks carry low long-term cost. By linking Beirut to later episodes in the War on Terror era, the book invites a sober assessment of how early policy precedents can echo for decades. Lastly, the origin story claimed connecting Beirut to the Long War. The subtitle positions Beirut as an untold origin story of the War on Terror, and this topic focuses on how the book constructs that connective tissue. Carr ties together the evolution of militant methods, the role of state sponsorship and proxy networks, and the gradual shift in U.S. threat perception from state-centric rivalry to transnational terrorism. The argument is less about a single direct line than about Beirut as an early demonstration of a model spectacular attacks, psychological impact, media amplification, and strategic messaging aimed at shaping Western behavior. The book suggests that understanding the Long War requires revisiting these early milestones because they reveal how adversaries tested concepts and assessed reactions. This perspective can help readers interpret later conflicts with more historical depth, recognizing patterns in target selection, ideological framing, and operational innovation. Carr also emphasizes the importance of memory and narrative, noting how societies choose which events become central lessons and which fade into specialist history. By recentering Beirut, the book aims to refine the reader's mental map of how terrorism, counterterrorism, and Middle East policy intertwined, and why unresolved dynamics from the 1980s continue to surface in new forms. In conclusion, this book best fits readers who want a clear, narrative account of a pivotal terrorist attack and its strategic aftershocks, including veterans and military families, policy-minded readers, and anyone trying to understand how the War on Terror did not begin in 2001 out of nowhere. It benefits the reader's life by sharpening historical literacy about asymmetric conflict, showing how operational realities, intelligence processes, and political incentives interact under pressure. That perspective can improve how readers judge current events, separate emotional reaction from strategic consequence, and recognize the importance of deterrent signals, institutional learning, and mission design. Compared with many books that treat terrorism history as a post-9/11 phenomenon, Targeted adds value by pushing the timeline earlier and by treating Beirut as a formative case rather than a footnote. Carr's storytelling approach also makes complex geopolitical material easier to follow without reducing it to slogans. For buyers deciding among similar titles, the appeal is the book's focus on one event as a prism for broader patterns, offering a concentrated case study that still connects to the larger arc of modern counterterrorism and Middle East engagement. If you would like to support Jack Carr, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.